So what first got you involved with Tide?
Well, ever since a child, I've been really interested in the natural world, and I've grown up by the coast, so it was inevitable that I would end up kind of wanting to protect it. And more so now than ever, we've got a need to do that, to protect our coastal habitats from this increase of human activity that we will see grow and grow year on year. So I think there's more and more of a need for it to just preserve it as well as protect it, really, and to raise awareness. So I kind of set up a number of conservation projects to do exactly that, really, just so people can talk about conservation in a realistic and accurate way, and so we can all do something about it, really.
Right, okay.
The environment is obviously a giant area, from biodiversity, which you obviously care about, to climate change. What do you personally do to reduce your own carbon footprint?
Good question. Well, firstly, there's so much more that we can all do as individuals, and none of us are without flaws on that. But I try and I try and raise the awareness of conservation to help others. Personally, I try and recycle as much as I can. My main thing, really, though, is to shop smart. So that involves everything that I buy. I try and reduce the amount of single-use plastic. I try and reduce my carbon footprint, so buy locally. For about 2 years now, and that's relatively late for someone who works in conservation, for about 2 years now, I've not eaten any meat. I started with cutting out my fish in my diet, because I live in Brixham, and I could see what was going on, and I realized that it wasn't as perhaps sustainable as perhaps it could be. So I cut out meat from my diet. That's one way. But I think just shopping smart is my biggest input of my personal, to reduce my personal negative impact.
Tide is a pretty locally based organisation within Torbay. Do you want to expand Tide to make it a national charity, or have you partnered with other organisations?
Another excellent question there. It's a difficult one, really, because there are so many really good conservation activities and projects around the UK. And there's so much we can do on a local level. I would love it to be national. But actually, by Tide supporting other organisations that are already doing good work, that's how we spread a national message. That actually, together, we can operate on a national level by sharing objectives, sharing projects, sharing data that we get, and working together. So rather than Tide itself growing and becoming like a dominant charity, I'd rather work alongside in partnership with other organisations already doing great things. So I work with a number of different organisations already, with, you know, Ringing Peregrine Falcons for the spatial dispersion, dispersal data, with Operation Cetacean, for example, taking helping them out on the boat when we go out on that. But generally, we just try and work with as many organisations as possible. Locally, we work with local authority, the harbour authority, the local councils, communities. This afternoon, I'm going into a primary school to present on litter and how to reduce that. So there's so much we can do, really. But I just think that collaborative working is the future of conservation. Without that, conservation won't work.
Okay, so with the G7, there looks like there'll be much funding for new offshore technologies. For example, Plymouth University has secured millions of pounds for new floating wind farms. Do you support marine sustainable tech, or do you think the money should be spent elsewhere, seeing the detrimental effect it can have on sea life?
It's a real, again, excellent question. It's a real tricky one to answer, that, because I do support it. I do want to support it. We have to move forward. We have to be innovative, and we have to trial things. We have to become better at it. The way we become better is by investing money in development. So we do have to do that. So I totally support that. However, we do have to measure our impact. We have to have environment impact studies that actually reflect the impact that innovation is going to have. And it's a really difficult one. There are so many different ways to invest that money as well that would be really valuable. But there, as with everything, it's about resources. How much money can we allocate to a project? Is it going to move us forward? Is it going to help us develop sustainable methods where we as a species can have a lesser impact as we grow and dominate further in both the marine and land environments? I would love to see some of the money rerouted into other causes, but actually innovation and development for sustainable methods is a fantastic way forward. So it's a really difficult one to answer that, really, but I do support it, but we've just got to be very cautious.
With this investment both creating jobs and already helping the large green economy within Cornwall, what kind of value can the rewilding of peregrine falcons, as you have already mentioned, to the southwest bring to communities, and what are the benefits of doing so?
Well, one of the outcomes of this project that we're hoping, now I've been working on this project for about 5 years now, and they, as a project collectively within the South Devon area, have monitored the dispersal of juvenile peregrines. So what we've learned is that the furthest away peregrine away from the southwest fledging sea cliffs has been Morocco. That's pretty cool, but that's exceptional. We have had birds in Wales and around the UK. So what we're doing is we're learning about, okay, we've got a natural nesting seabird. These aren't urban peregrines. These are naturally nesting as they would normally be or would have done previously. So where are they going and how are they living? Because a peregrine falcon, like many natural species, will be reliant on prey abundance. They will only go to an area that is safe and has a lot of prey for it to eat. So we know that wherever it goes is relatively safe from disturbance from humans and has a lot of wild natural food for it. That is great because that teaches us a lot about where they turn up. So if it went to Pembrokeshire, for example, which is, or Somerset, which is one that we've recently had, we know that that area is suitable for peregrines. That tells us a lot about our wild spaces around the UK because these birds are doing our research for us. They're going out there and collecting all this data going, yeah, this is cool. There's loads of pigeons, there's loads of magpies, and this is a natural environment that's great. So actually we as communities can learn where the really great, nice wild spaces are for these natural predators to work. We lose sight of that, I think, as humans. I think we focus on our lives rather than let's try and see it from the bird's perspective. Let's see it from the perspective of wildlife. That's a really interesting viewpoint, and we don't often get to see that.
So, final question. Boris Johnson and other world leaders are coming to the southwest very soon. What would you say to world leaders about protecting the coast in the UK in the future?
Wow. It's a really difficult one. Firstly, without getting too political, I would say let's move the capitalist agenda away from focusing purely on profit and money and focus more on community life and human existence in relationship to nature. I would try and allocate more budgets to research and development of how humans can better live around the coast. We're no longer settlers. We are the apex predators in these habitats, and often we don't see the world as a habitat or an ecosystem, but we must. And we've really got to learn to view nature as a valuable asset to our existence. We often underfund research and conservation. The whole industry of animal welfare, which is incredibly important at the moment and really busy and growing, is hugely underfunding and run largely by volunteers, which is crazy when the banking sector are paying themselves billions of pounds individually for promoting the economy further and growing capitalism. We need to shift that to become more nature-minded, environment-minded, and it is achievable. The problem I find, in my opinion, is that politicians are focusing on a 4 or 8 year tenure. They're only interested in their own careers, whereas we as conservationists are looking for 100 years, 500 years ahead, potentially. And actually, we're not interested in the capital growth of an individual, a family, or a knighthood. We're actually interested in sustaining our lives as a species and protecting many, many other species. And for that, we've got to move away from the focus of being earning money into let's protect the world, including ourselves. So for the benefit of all species.
Oh, okay. So thanks very much.